Good Monday to you. Welcome to the show. Wow, I am coming in clear as a bell. That's got to be a good sign, right?
I think you're overmodulated.
I am now overmodulated, right?
I could hear you from way over here, Ryan.
You know, if it's a technical term, overmodulated, and you know whose fault that would be if I'm overmodulated?
Oh, you're definitely not overmodulated.
Thank you.
I think you might be a little too close to the mic, is what I would say.
All right. Yeah, so we're back. Hopefully you enjoyed your weekend, enjoyed Sky Sox baseball. Good of them to get a win. We still have a lot of stuff planned for you on today's show. A lot of contests, which is cool. Obviously, let me throw out the text line, 286-0046. Feel free to share your opinions and comments there, because the one that we deem the best of the day will receive $25 to Texas T-Bone. We're also...
It's delish.
That's true. We have the shot of the day. You know that. Magnum Shooting Center. We also, if you have not seen this, the WWE is coming to Pueblo on October 2nd. And we have your hookup all week long for tickets. So if you are a wrestling fan, I have charged Wheels with the task of trying to stump you when it comes to entrance music.
Oh, that's good. How late are we going to go deep? Are we taking them out to deep water and drowning them?
I gave Wheels, it's up to Wheels, but I did say, like, don't be hitting Stone Cold the first time out. Like, come on. We got to go a little bit deeper.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
We got to go a little bit deeper if it's, you know, it can't be like Shot of the Day where sometimes you just hear the dude's name in it.
Yes, Tim Tebow, hit one to the right.
So, come for the prizes, stay for the sports talk. Coming up next hour, we'll be joined by Sam Farnsworth, KKTV Channel 11. In hour number three, due to the schedule today, we have moved 25 teams in 25 days till 5:30, at which point Nick Olney, the head coach of the Whitefield Gladiators, will join us to talk about how his team can improve on what was a very successful 2016
season. Are we going to do that game again this year? Do you know?
It is looking like it.
Because last year, something went down in that game.
Nick and I had a discussion.
I want to see how this, because like if I was a junior last year,
yeah,
and then this game happens again and I'm a senior, it's on.
It's Mesa Ridge Whitefield, in case you were wondering.
Yes.
But
don't you dare go T.O. on the star.
Right. So we'll talk Whitefield Gladiator football coming up in hour number three. I guess we should start with
first the
Broncos.
Gloves are off, right? The PB&J gloves, is that off?
So
like Wheels picked the perfect week because like now I have to root for Trevor Siemian.
I'm looking at the calendar.
Random week.
Looking at the calendar and I see gone. Like when is he supposed to?
But it was like the perfect storm because last week, I have to root for him now because, like, he's the only quarterback besides Slaughter. In fact,
help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Fine.
Can I talk about that?
I'll see how to work it in.
So
I'll figure it out. I always do.
Let me float something your way and see if you're down with it or not. My question on Friday while you were out, is why is Kyle Slaughter playing? Because
we talked about this.
Right. Well, we were golfing today. By the way, shout out to the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado and Air Academy Federal Credit Union for having us out for the Going for the Green Golf Classic. We, you know, we misbehaved like you would not believe. They will not allow us back, but we thank them for having us out nonetheless. But you and I were chatting about this.
The marshmallow was the best.
So here's my theory. I look on that the other night, I look across the field, and I see Mitchell Trubisky getting to throw 22 passes.
Yes,
and I say, Vance Joseph is so hell-bent on splitting everything down the middle.
When you have kids, you hate that. My wife
was raised this way. So something that drives me crazy about my wife's family.
We try, but sometimes you can't.
Is that she was raised where everyone is even. Whether you're older, whether you're younger, whether you're more, a better kid, whether you're a less behaved kid, everyone gets the same.
So, like, if one kid got all A's and the other kid brought home all D's, they would get the same number of French fries?
Pretty much.
Oh!
It was about fairness. And Vance Joseph right now is so hell-bent on making sure that everything in this competition is so even, Steven,
right,
and not giving anybody any perceived edge,
mm-hmm,
that he's actually, in my opinion, mishandling Paxton Lynch, because Paxton Lynch needs more time. What we see in,
yes,
Trevor Siemian, that's Trevor Siemian. Doesn't make mistakes, not going to be spectacular. He'll do
likes
the job.
Likes to paint all his walls white. Always orders water with dinner.
Did you reload over the weekend with how to describe people who are boring?
Yeah.
but he's not going to show us anything else. That's what he is. He's going to complete
three, he is what he is.
He's going to,
yes,
complete three out of every five, mm-hmm, passes. He's going to connect on some good throws. He's going to get helped out by the – he is who he is. With Paxton Lynch, if you drafted him knowing he's a 2 or 3 year project, why all this fairness, and why not just give Trevor Siemian the quarter and a half you want to give him and then give Paxton Lynch the rest of the game?
Here's my thoughts.
Kay.
And after talking to everybody, I've probably talked to like five or six people about it. And – honestly, this is like making me sad to say. It's possible to give him Paxton Lynch too many reps. He is not
too many.
He's not coming around.
Oh,
he doesn't,
no,
understand the offense. They have to cut everything in half. No, what I'm saying is if we were in a regular training camp, they would have already named Trevor Siemian the starter. That's what I'm saying. So Paxton Lynch, he's getting, yes, even Stevens, and he needs to be happy. I agree with you. I think he needs to have more,
mm-hmm,
and I think what's really they didn't count on this happening. Kyle Sloter looked like a professional quarterback.
You know what?
I'm not going to say he's a starter or second string. He looked confident. He looked like he knew what he was doing. Even though he's against 2s, 3s, 4s, whatever you want to say, he looked like he had a handle on what he was doing. And Paxton Lynch has not looked that way one time yet.
Well, here's the difference with Kyle Sloter and Paxton Lynch, okay? The difference is, and I tweeted this out during the game the other night, Kyle Sloter is playing quarterback like Paxton Lynch should be, running around, buying time with your legs, tossing it up, letting someone make a play. That's how Paxton Lynch should be playing, but he's not,
no,
because he's so petrified of making a mistake because he knows he only has 14 plays to nail it, and he's losing. He knows he's losing,
yes,
to Trevor Siemian, and that's why you see the throw to A.J. Derby and a throw to Benny Fowler were airmailed. Why? Because he's trying to place it just
it's not going to be picked,
so it won't,
sure,
be picked,
yeah,
off,
right,
and he ends up airmailing his receiver.
Here's where his issue is, too. He does move around, but he's moving around to run. He's not moving around for someone to get open. He doesn't draw it up in the dirt after that. He just looks like he just, you know, God bless him, man. He just doesn't look like he's ready.
Mm.
I guess that's the easiest way to say.
Carl coming in on the text line, 286-0046. Technically, Sloter is a professional quarterback. He will be paid by the Denver Broncos.
No, but you know what I mean.
Right.
What I mean is it looks like he could play somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where it is
He deserves a job.
Right.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
if they try to get him through to the practice squad, it would be difficult. Now, what are they going to do? They got Kelly. They got Sloter. They got Lynch. They got Siemian. You can't put any single one of them on the practice squad. You can't sneak any of them through waivers.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You're not going to carry four quarterbacks. And, like,
no.
You know what Vance Joseph said last week, I'm not sure if we talked about this or not, saying that he is definitely out of the competition. I understand the theory behind that, but I think him saying that, I think that hurts the team. When you're a free agent or a low-drafted guy and you're out there and you're just busting your tail and you're beating out the starters, and they say you're not even in the mix – I don't think that's the right message you want to send to your team. I think that was a misstep by Vance Joseph, because if it wasn't the quarterback situation, if it was a defensive lineman or linebacker or whatever, and this undrafted guy's coming up there and he's beating out the starter, he would never say that.
But and that, you know what, and that's fair. But it goes back to, he wants everything to be super. He wants to have perfect incubator for these two quarterbacks, and everyone gets the same amount of reps.
Uh-huh.
Yes, play calling varies. Paxton Lynch ended up throwing, what, three more passes? But basically, everything is split the same in terms of playing time. You know, we're not going to allow this outside variable of Kyle Sloter to come in.
Right.
And I know, and I'm with you. Look, he may play when he plays against San Francisco, because they're doing the same thing again this week, except Paxton Lynch starts and Trevor Siemian comes in. Kyle Sloter may fall on his face.
Right.
Okay?
And I'm not saying that he's better than the other two. I'm just saying he's playing very well.
To dismiss him when he was the only, like, let everyone said, whoa, it was blown coverage. Yeah, it was. But let's talk about the two quarterbacks who have been with the Broncos for a year now.
Right.
Or a year or more now.
Mm-hmm.
Do they always hit guys
on blown coverage?
On blown coverage? Mm-mm. Especially
Siemian, because he's not looking down there.
No, well, I would say one of each of them has their own problems.
Right.
Siemian sometimes can't make the throw to get it to a guy that breaks free on busted coverage. Paxton Lynch,
he's not even
might overthrow the guy and get picked off.
But that wasn't the only play. That's the thing. Like, everyone's talking about the long touchdown pass. That's not all that he did.
Like I said, he was just out there. He was letting it all hang out.
Right.
Like, dude, everyone says that this guy that's hurt is like the second coming of Joe Montana, or to be perfectly accurate, the second coming of Jim Kelly. You know, and then there's two guys here. They might only carry two, but if this guy gets healthy, then he'd be the third guy. I'm not long for this world. I mean, either I'm going to the practice squad or I'm being released.
Right.
So why not go out there and just fool around, play some ball? And that's what I'm saying. That's just what I wish Paxton Lynch would do, but he's so afraid
to
make a mistake that he's not doing what can win him the job. Paxton Lynch is going to make mistakes. But like I said on Friday, he may throw a pick on his own 30-yard line, but the next series he may throw like a 50-yard bomb to
DT. And that's what he needs to do. That's exactly what he has
not
done.
But 14 plays is not long enough for him to be able to do that.
And Andrew just texted in redshirt Kelly. We talked about that.
Well,
he can go on IR.
They will, and that's what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, so then they have two this year, so they got him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not a great solution, but it is a solution.
Again, and when you think about carrying all three guys, and all of us right now, Andrew included, are just living in the moment with Kyle Sloter. Like I said, the dude played in Greeley, which, to be fair, is the Harvard of Weld County. I've always said that.
But the thing about it is that's not his only stop. He's been at big schools too, like Southern Miss. He understands.
Right. All right, but my point is just that.
No, you're right.
Like, let's calm it down a little bit on Kyle Sloter. But what Kyle Sloter did was point out to me, doesn't change anything with Trevor Siemian. Siemian could not play the rest of the preseason, and I would feel the same way about him. I would feel like he's not going to make a lot of mistakes.
Right.
He's not going to make big plays for you. He's going to be solid, right? I hate using that name. I almost want to ban it on this show.
Right.
Because Vance Joseph says it all the time about him. But that's who he is. But with Paxton Lynch, he can vary so much, which is part of what you hate about him.
Right.
But is also part of what you love about
yet,
him.
And that's the thing. And with Kyle Sloter, it's for me, yes, it's hard to dismiss it when he always passes the eyeball test. I mean, he's been playing like this all camp. Everyone's been talking about it, and Andrew's a UNC Bear.
Right, it's
So's my daughter, so I root for the Bears.
It's
good
not,
for them. 29 touchdowns, even in the big sky. Come on.
And, a side story that doesn't much matter whatsoever when it comes to the Denver Broncos, it's cool for UNC, and I hope they're soaking it in. I hope they're, and I hope Slaughter goes out and plays well again, and I hope the guys up in Greeley, who we like very much, soak this in and
they're
all
trying
that
to get
stuff.
That football program back to where it was. That's going to be
they
a
narrowly missed
task.
Out on the postseason last year.
Yep.
We will take your thoughts 286-0046. Paxton will get a quarter and a half. Trevor Siemian will come in and get a quarter and a half, and then you'll have Slaughter the rest of the way. Coming up next, we have our Magnum Shooting Center shot of the day, a chance for you to win a free concealed carry class or use safety course. That's coming up next on Extra Sports 1300.
Colorado Springs, what's going on? Jim Rome here. Catch me in the jungle weekdays 10 to 1 on Extra Sports 1300.
So it is official as we welcome you back onto Drive Time Sports. Wednesday, October 18th, it is on in the Vivint Smart Home Arena. Worst name for arena
ever. Is that
ever.
The name of it?
Nuggets at Jazz to open the 2017-18 NBA season. Our next guest will surely be there. Sam Farnsworth, KKTV. Hey, Sam.
Hey, I wish I would be there. Probably not going to be there, but I'll be there in heart and spirit.
So,
we were talking about this in the last segment. We got on the topic of Carmelo because sometimes that happens in sports radio. do you think that he would be, from a basketball perspective, would he be a good fit in Utah?
Who again?
Carmelo.
Oh my.
basketball only.
Here's my take on it then. I don't know that Carmelo Anthony has been much of a coach's player in the NBA. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't have a good analysis on it, but it seems like, when it comes down to, like, coaching and kind of if his ideas clash with the coach, it seems like he just kind of does his thing. If that were the case in Utah, I don't think it would work because Quinn Snyder, I think, has kind of developed I don't know if personality is the right word, but he's kind of developed that identity of a coach that, if the players buy into what he's selling, they're going to win games. I think that's a strong reason why the Jazz have been able to turn it around when he got hired. Obviously they've got a lot of young talent, but I think that's a big reason why. So I don't know that Carmelo would necessarily fit that mold so well.
So, Sam, Jim Boeheim loved Carmelo, and Quinn came from the college game, so maybe. But the question for me is about the Jazz. Have they decided what color they are this year? Are they baby blue, orange? Are they green, purple? Have they made a decision on the main color palette for the 2017-18 season?
They're still navy, kind of. The navy's the main color in yellow, right?
Like everybody else.
Then they've got the the green and in there as well as a part of it. It's basically, you think of the old purple, yellow, and green and white uniforms. It's the same thing. They just replaced the purple with the navy as kind of the main color there. So that's the primary uniform, color configuration for the Jazz. And just like everyone else, right, the Nuggets. When they revealed those jerseys last week, I think, a coworker of mine's like, I don't know if they are the Denver Pacers or the Indiana Nuggets.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they're horrific. Speaking of horrific, Broncos quarterback play, do you think, I feel like it's just making more of a mess of things to allow Kyle Slaughter to play as much as he is. Like, what's really the goal of developing Kyle Slaughter? Why not give... My idea is, with Trevor Siemian, you can fit him into the little box, you can give him the 14 plays, and he is who he is. With Paxton Lynch, I feel like they need to treat him like the Bears treated Mitchell Trubisky the other night. Let him throw it 22 times. Yeah, he'll make a mistake or two, but he'll probably make a pretty awesome play in the meantime as well. So I guess my bottom line is, even if Vance Joseph wants to be super fair, split it down the middle, two quarters and two quarters, Kyle Sloter's just complicating things, no?
I don't know if he's complicating things necessarily. And I think you're right. With more time played, there's a better chance for Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch to separate themselves as a starter, right? And in the first game, great. You know, I thought it was fine that they played the amount of time that they did. This next game, I would expect more. And who knows, you know, how much more. But that's what I would expect. Obviously, that third game, you kind of want to have a starter in place by then. So I think this next game would be a game where you want to go deeper into the second half with maybe at that point Siemian, maybe give Lynch the, you know, close to the entire first half if possible. That would be my preference, you know, maybe a half each. And who knows, as far as, you know, I think, and this is just me, I obviously I'm just kind of going out on my own theories here, but if you develop Sloter and show him good enough, then maybe you've got someone that, whether it's Siemian or Lynch, that at the end, if you pick your starter, Siemian and or Lynch, maybe you've got one of them that can be traded. And then you've got Sloter ready to be the backup this next season. I don't think that would be a great situation, in all honesty. It's a theory that me and a couple of friends of mine were just kind of throwing around over the weekend. But so who knows? I would like to see Sloter not play much this next game, though, because I think what it means is we're going to get a better opportunity to read these two other quarterbacks and figure out who the starter is. Because, like I said last week, like I said today, I think they've got to have that starter by the time they're coming home for Green Bay.
So, Sam, after the game, the media asked Vance Joseph if Kyle Sloter was in the mix for either backup right. or first string, and he threw it out. And, you know, none of us are sitting here saying that he's ready for any of that, but he has mm-hmm. looked good. Do you think Vance Joseph made a misstep by just throwing that out? Because if we're talking about a linebacker or a defensive lineman, offensive line, any right. other position on the field, and an undrafted free agent is out there balling, he would never say that.
Right. You're right. And the thing, the big difference, obviously, between quarterback and any of those other positions, there's a lot more rotation in and out, right, in and out of the game. So you want to build more depth there as much as possible. At quarterback, it's nice to have depth. It's nice to have a reliable backup, but you want to be 100% confident in that guy who is starting. And I think I think he was right in saying, you know, Sloter's not competing for the starting job because he's still worried about these other two. If you throw Sloter into the mix, then it becomes even that much more complicated and confusing, possibly. And you know, what Sloter did was great. I thought it and. The way he's looked in practice for me, and this is what's not, you know, fans, it's been open to the public. Fans have seen it, but maybe not every day of practice. The way he's looked in practice to me, Sloter, has been very impressive. And so for him to perform the way he did in the game didn't surprise me so much. But again, that's against a whole bunch of undrafted college free agents, right? So I don't think he's he's just competing for a roster spot, not for the number one job.
Sam Farnsworth, KKTV, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So, halfbacks, there'll probably be, what, four? Probably on the roster.
At least. Possibly five.
So, we know CJ, mm-hmm. yes. Devontae Booker, yes. Then from there, who are you taking? Jamal Charles, Stephen Ridley, D'Angelo Henderson.
Right. So, for me, I'm curious. I'm still kind of watching the whole Devontae thing. What are they going to do? You know, if he's not going to play this week, if he's not even going to play that third preseason game, there's no way he's going to start the season on the active roster. Are they going to start him on the 8-week IR or something? I don't know, but I kind of feel like if you haven't been able to participate all camp and preseason long, how can you fill up a roster spot with when there's so much other good competition at running back? So for me right now, I am kind of eyeing Devontae Booker, but I kind of throw him out of the mix. And yeah, I've been looking at four tailback or running backs. You know, CJ obviously. I think you've got to have D'Angelo on the roster. right now I like Jamal Charles still, even though he's been limited. I think they're going to – there's got to be something there, right?
Yeah, they have a plan.
Yeah, and so I think he's on the roster. And that basically leaves it down to Stephen Ridley or Juwan Thompson for me. But again, if they do go with Booker to start the season on the active roster, then I think both Ridley and Thompson, along with Bernard Pierce, are out at this point. Because I just don't think you can risk trying to get Henderson onto your that 24-hour period of waivers before you can add him to the practice squad, right? I don't think you can risk dangling him out there with the way he's performed in training camp and in that first preseason game.
Sam, we will watch you on the television. I do want to make perfectly clear for everybody listening, the phantom plays that we missed the other night was on yeah. Ron Zappolo and Brian Greasy. It was not on KKTV, but you can watch yeah. Sunday's game on KKTV as well as the Packers game and the preseason finale. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows, Sam. I'm a truther. I'm on the truther tour. So
we will definitely be there.
Yeah, we'll be tuning in Sunday, and we'll be tuning in especially the halftime show on Sunday
as well.
You
love it, don't you?
Yeah, just it's yeah. it just
must see TV.
Around.
That's for sure.
News, weather, sports, more weather, some commercial weather.
Beautiful thing.
All right, Sam. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. See you guys.
There's Sam Farnsworth, KKTV.
They did the weather thing last night. I switched the channel on another one, and I went to channel 11, and the weather came up again, and my wife's like, didn't we just see this? I go, no, that was the other station.
I'm telling you.
They cut it. They cut in for, like, Calhoun. Don't cut into Springs for Calhoun.
Oh, you are such a...
They have, like, CB radios or something.
Oh, stop. Those are my people.
They got CBs.
The weather,
breaker 1-9.
Weather is the Denver Broncos of news of
it
television.
Is. It totally is.
We gotta hit it. Bring it back up again.
Counting down to kickoff of the high school football season. This is 25 teams in 25 days on Drive Time Sports.
Our 25 Teams in 25 Days series continues with the Widefield Gladiators. Last year, Widefield went 5-5 under first-year head coach Nick Olney, and now he's back for year two to try and build on a very successful season, and Coach Olney joins us right now. Coach, how are you today?
Doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Doing great. So 5-5, you look at the year prior, that is a huge improvement for this program, but knowing you the little bit that I do, I know that you would have liked to see more in the win column, but overall, did the 2016 season meet your expectations?
You know, we look at program development for years to come, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a great, great start. You know, in the reality of it, we were probably about 3-4 plays away from being 7-3 and making the playoffs and yeah. probably what is becoming one of the toughest conferences in 4A football across the state. So, I mean, you know, it just goes back to what we try to really preach to our kids, that every play is the most important. You know, you look at two or three plays against Mesa Ridge and, you know, opening up slow against Liberty didn't help out. It's a game that I feel we should have won, and you know, but it helped us to grow. So, I mean, that game was about one or two plays away as well. So being within those realms of those that situation, I mean, we're definitely off to a great start with our program development for sure.
And outside of, you talk about the importance of every single play. Outside of that, what's the philosophy from you that you're hoping that kids continue to pick up here that in your second year at the school?
You know, I think it's just the confidence. You know, we've got a very special group of seniors. You know, these kids going off of 1-9 season to 5-5 was absolutely huge for us. Like you said, but building the confidence that we can play with anybody. You know, anytime you've got three playoff teams, including a state champion in your league, and then top that off, week five, we see Chatfield, which beat Pine Creek during the regular season last year. You know, we've got the team that we can definitely hang with any of these guys, if not beat these guys, and it just takes a total team effort. So, you know, building the confidence, you know, having the kids really buy in. You know, last year with taking over June 1st, I think, you know, this year actually having a full off season, these kids are really understanding the hard work that it takes in the off season to be competitive. And, you know, there's some really good 4A teams here in Colorado Springs that we have to play, and we've got to, in order to compete with them and you know, beat them, we've definitely got to keep put that hard work in year round.
Widefield head coach Nick Olney joining me here on Drive Time Sports, 25 teams in 25 days. How can TJ Davis be a better quarterback in 2017?
You know, year one, when I coach quarterbacks, and, you know, TJ is a very special player, but mm-hmm. he's an even better kid. He's one of the most coachable kids I've ever worked with. And, you know, what we did year one was we worked a lot on his mechanics and fundamentals, and he was able to really change how he was throwing motion and what he was able to do this. This year, our big focus is, you know, not only is he becoming the team leader naturally because of the way kids look up to him, but he's really taken ownership of the team as well as our other captains. But to take it a step further, I mean, on the field, we've been really working with TJ as far as his decision-making and, you know, going up a step above. I mean, the kid can throw the ball in tight windows. He can throw the deep ball. And he's pretty good in the open field to run the ball as well. Mm-hmm. So just keeping all that together and, you know, his leadership as well as the other captains has really been big for TJ this offseason.
Do you think incorporating more of the passing game would be something that would help you guys perhaps get those extra couple of wins that might put you into postseason?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things that we as an offensive staff emphasize this offseason is how well we throw the ball. And, you know, we've got some incredible wide receivers this year, and we are fast. You know, it's led by our best receiver returning from last year, Myreek Goodwin, mm-hmm. you know, number 11. He's kind of leader of that group, plays one of the slot receivers for us. And then Isaac Price has come out of nowhere. I mean, the kid's a 4.5 40 kid, run our other slot receivers. And then Roderick Jones will be a returning starter at the X receiver for us. And then a kid that we actually had running some defensive line for us will be our other starting receiver, and that's Luis Maldonado. But then you can throw in, we've got another kid by the name of Joquez Addison, who is, you know, he's just as good as those four, and we're going to let all five of them fight out for the four jobs. And if we can get that going, get those kids going, I mean, we, as fast as we are and as good as those kids are starting to become, we could be pretty dangerous throwing the ball.
Yeah, and this is such a talented senior class that you got, Nick, because you have so many guys, and I'm also looking on the defensive side of the football, too. Yes, your top two tacklers, Nate and Luke, are gone, but I've got to go down 10 or 12 guys before I get to the next senior. You had so many guys right in that sweet spot, right? They were upperclassmen, so they get it. They understand what it takes to win, but at the same time, you have a chance to develop them a little bit more and then bring them back for what you hope will be a big senior year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got, like you said, it's a very special group of seniors. And, you know, I think on defense, we're going to be led by Nathan Daniel. He's going to play some inside linebacker and some D-line for us. But, I mean, even up front, I mean, we're going over to a 3-4 defense just because we don't have the depth that, you know, to run a four-man front. And, you know, we're pretty good up front. You know, Doug Barnes is another kid that's getting some looks at some colleges that can play some linebacker or some D-line. And then we've got a great back end, you know, led by Isaac Gillette, who was actually coming off of a torn ACL, and he's just absolutely hungry. Another one of those seniors that got his junior year taken away from him, but he's absolutely hungry not only to hit somebody but to make sure winning ball games. And you put that in with some of our two-way kids like Myreek and Isaac Price, and then one of our junior standout captains, Frankie Ingraldi, actually not only on defense but on offense as well. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for these kids, and I'm excited what we can show we can do.
How important is going to be that first game against Liberty? You guys had such a good start to the season, but you look at, you know, maybe you could have been 4-0 out of the gate instead of starting the season. So how important is that Liberty game to start?
You know, what's fun about it is these kids get it. They get that the fact that, you know, that's a game that we need to win and we have to win, you know. So I think that the biggest pressure isn't, you know, what looks like for Chatfield, what it looks like for Pine Creek. Mm-hmm. It's what it looks like week one. And, you know, one of our seniors says, hey, our biggest goal this year, and it's an old cliche, but is to go 1-0 every week. And I think that's what's special about this group of kids is they know that week one is just as important as week seven. Week two is just as important down. So, you know, coming out against Liberty, you know, that's going to be a fun game. You know, it's a game I felt we let slip away from us. You know, it ended up being a track meet both sides of the ball, and I think their head coach would tell you the same thing, that, you know, they won by, you know, getting it at the end there. But it's a game that we have to win, and I feel like that's what's fun about this. These kids understand that, and they get it, and we're excited to go out there and get week one started.
Well, it'll be September 1st, kickoff just after 7 o'clock at D20 Stadium Widefield. It starts on the road, so to speak, and then they'll be back at C.A. Foster Stadium the following week for a Saturday matinee matchup with Mitchell. So exciting stuff going on for Widefield. They had a big step forward last year, and excited to see what you guys have in store for 2017, Nick. Really appreciate the time, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate everything you do.
That is going to do it for the show. Thanks to Nick Olney and Sam Farnsworth. Thanks to you for listening. We'll be back with you at 3 tomorrow here on Extra Sports 1300.